It's the JT the Brick Show.
They get the snap ball. Hand off Jacob. Has the first down of the big hole. 15, 10, 5, touchdown Raiders.
Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He is smothered and brought down. Max Crosby came around for the sack.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 20 years.
Shotgun snap to Stidham. Lob to your corner for Adams. Makes the grab in the corner. Touchdown Raiders. An absolutely perfect pass, and Adams dragged his feet in the back left corner.
And now, filling in for JT today is Harry Ruiz.
Raider Nation, what's up? Harry Ruiz back with you here on Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Wednesday. A scorching hot Wednesday afternoon here in Las Vegas. Those triple-digit heats are hitting hard right now. No wonder why the Raiders want to go to Costa Mesa during their training camp, because it's getting hot and heavy ahead of the 4th of July celebration that I'm pretty sure everybody's going to be partying tomorrow. Vegas is the place to be for 4th of July. There's concerts going down. There's sporting events going down. You got the Aces doing their thing yesterday in front of 20,000 plus at T-Mobile Arena, the fifth largest attendance for a regular season WNBA game. Then you got Copa America on Saturday. That's going to be a packed stadium, confirmed. Brazil is coming back and playing for the second time in a week here in Sin City. Brazil versus Uruguay. If you don't know about soccer, but you want to enjoy potentially your first soccer game here in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium, I recommend you guys to go to this game on Saturday. Yesterday, we were talking about sporting events and tickets and all that stuff going down. Before the Brazil game went down, Brazil-Colombia in the group stage yesterday at 6 p.m., tickets for the Winfield Club were $165, which you're pretty much down on the field right next to the tunnel. Everything is right in front of you. Once it was confirmed that Brazil was coming over, the tickets almost doubled in price in the box office for general admission to stand pretty much for 4 hours there at Allegiant Stadium. But that just shows you, you're getting a premier matchup here in town. So Vegas, and plus, that's just talking about the sporting side and concerts. I know Blink-182 is going down tonight, and there's more concerts during the weekend. But I know the parties in the pools are going to be crazy. The parties in the nightclubs are going to be crazy. It's a long weekend for a lot of folks that today is their last day at work. And then tomorrow they party, Friday they party, Saturday they party, Sunday they either go back home or they use it to recover, and then Monday back to reality. And fortunately, the reality for most of us, because I say most of us, not everybody's a football fan, but most of us are, if you're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920, there's a very good chance that you are, is that football is going to be one Sunday closer. If I'm correct, I think we're going to be 9 Sundays away from football once this one comes up, and that is fantastic. So we're going to talk football, of course, but let's talk about our first two guests that we're going to have later today here on the show. First up, leading off, we got John Morgan, MMA journalist and commentator. If you watch the UFC press conferences, 90% of the time, he's the first man with the microphone asking questions to Dana White and to the fighters. He's very respected. If you watch UFC events, he's right there, front row. He's got the best seat in the house. And he was out there on Saturday during International Fight Week, UFC 303, that main event. Man, UFC has their next superstar in their hands with Alex Pereira. We're going to talk about his big knockout, about the drama that went down with the co-main event, because if you're not into UFC, can you imagine fight goes down on 2 weeks' notice? They got to bring in a new co-main event, and then that co-main event goes down hours before the fight is supposed to happen. And one of the fighters says, I'm still down to fight. Bring somebody in. And they brought in a replacement fighter, Dan Ige, and the guy, Diego Lopez, he was able to get the win. So it was craziness. First time ever in MMA that something like this happens. We're going to talk about John. And also, Conor McGregor. What's up with Mystic Mac? He's gambling a lot of money in Argentina when the Copa America, and he's having fun in his pub out there in Ireland that he just opened. But he was supposed to be fighting here in Las Vegas this past Saturday. He didn't. Michael Chandler has been waiting for his opportunity at Mystic Mac for a while. He was supposed to fight in UFC 303. Instead, he was out here in Las Vegas signing autographs and taking pictures with fans. So we'll talk about the future of Conor McGregor. Is he coming back? Is he not? Then in September, if you're in Vegas, you've seen the Sphere. And the first sporting event with actually a sporting event going down, not just somebody from sports having a draft like the NHL did last weekend. There's going to be fights inside the Sphere with UFC, with Dana White having that, saying that it's going to be the biggest and best sporting event ever. You all saw the draft. You saw the graphics. You saw it online or on TV. It looked amazing. Now imagine actually having two people fighting in an octagon in that stage. That's going to be bananas. So we're going to have John Morgan, MMA journalist and commentator, join us here in hour number one. And also, we're going to talk soccer with Eric Winalda. We spoke about the craziness that it was with USA and Mexico not advancing to the quarterfinals of the Copa America. And look, I understand the competition is on a higher level when you're facing South American teams. But how does Canada make it into the quarterfinals and you don't? You got to look at that. I mean, is Canada now better than the US and then Mexico in soccer? They're better in the Copa America so far. So in this tournament, they are. Panama, they advanced in the same group as the USA. How does that happen? Come on, guys. Eric Winalda, he always says what he has in his mind. He's got no filter, so we're going to talk about that. The Euros are going down. Very competitive soccer happening out there in Europe. I know that JT loves watching international soccer, and he has mentioned it before on this program that it's the most popular sport in the world. And that is true. If you just take off those glasses that just watch American sports with football, baseball, basketball, hockey. If you then look internationally, and I'll tell you in my own experience, when I moved to Mexico as a kid, I didn't follow soccer, but I started going to games in Torreón in the old Estadio Corona. Imagine this, an 18,000 seat stadium, small stadium, all concrete, and you had to get to the stadium 3 hours early to get reserve a seat that you really wanted because they weren't numbered back then. So you just had to go, sit, wait for the game. The first time I went to a game, actually, I had to sit in the stairs to go up in the seats because all the seats were already taken. We got there in the good old American way, 10 minutes before the game started. Everything was packed. No seat available. So you're sitting there. I was sitting there with my dad in the stairs while the beer vendors are going up and down selling the beers, and we're all uncomfortable. But I learned about how soccer is big in Mexico. Sorry, not big. Huge. It was the only thing on TV. The only thing on TV. You wanted to watch a sports show, they talk all about soccer. You wanted to listen on the radio, everything about soccer. The games that you could watch, soccer. And that's how it was in the late 90s and the 2000s. Fortunately, then football started getting pushed a little bit harder. Baseball got a little bit more of a push. Instead of just the World Series and playoffs, you got some regular season games here and there. But in the rest of the culture in the world, soccer is immense. It's huge. Heck, Eric Winalda played out there in Germany, played in Europe. And besides scoring the first ever goal in MLS, he was out there. He was playing in Europe while other players weren't. So we'll talk about his experience with that, with the Euros, Copa America. We've been saying MLS to Las Vegas. Is it coming? Is it not? I mean, to be honest, I'll be honest with you. I think it ain't. I think it's not. If you ask me in 2019, I would be a very big proponent. I'd be like, you know what? Yes, I think it's going to work in Las Vegas. But it's been, what, 5 years since? And no movement in that front? And everything went from, yeah, Vegas is going to get an MLS team to now, the commissioner doesn't talk much about Vegas. San Diego got a team first. Maybe other places are going to get a team ahead of Las Vegas. So those are the two guests that we got so far lined up. We're absolutely going to be talking some Raiders football as well with you guys. First, I want to give a big shout out to our friends at Grimaldi's Pizzeria because they are hands down my favorite pizza in Las Vegas. If you haven't tried it yet, you need to try their famous Brooklyn Bridge Pizza. Only at Grimaldi's can you get their New York style coal-fired brick oven pizza. You can check them out all over the Las Vegas Valley, in Summerlin at Boca Park, on the Strip, at the Palazzo, at South Las Vegas on Rainbow Avenue, and also in Green Valley on Eastern Avenue. Open for dine-in, carry-out, and delivery. Order at GrimaldiPizzeria.com. Yesterday, the NFL, they had one of their writers do an interesting experiment. I'll say it like that. You know, it's the offseason, so people are starting to get editors come to them and be like, hey, man, we need an idea. We need some content. We need something to be able to post on our website because teams ain't starting their training camps until 3 weeks out. So what do you have in mind? What can you bring to the table? What can you do to fill our webpage with something that can get us clicks, to get people coming in and visiting our site and not just viewing the same story every single time they come up? So they did an interesting project, I'll say it that way. They had Chad Reuter, a draft analyst, do a 7-round NFL mock draft for the 2024 season, but not of rookies, of every team's full set of win-now picks with players currently in the league. So obviously, you say you can pick any player right now in the league. Who can you pick? And they went with the order of the draft. So, for example, the Carolina Panthers, they have the first overall pick. Who do they go with? Patrick Mahomes. Number two, Washington, Josh Allen, and so on and so forth. And obviously, you think about a draft where you can pick any player, and obviously, the first 14 picks, all of them were quarterbacks. First defensive player off the board, Myles Garrett, number 15. So me as a Raider fan, as somebody that follows the Raiders, somebody that works following the Raiders, my interest was, okay, let's look at which Raiders players were chosen by this analyst. First round, two players by the Raiders. Number 27, Max Crosby. He was a third edge behind Myles Garrett in the 15th pick. T.J. Watt with the 23rd pick. And then overall, when you talk about defensive players, he was the fifth player overall. Micah Parsons, number 19, and Chris Jones, number 25. So I'll say that, hey, Max Crosby is getting some respect there. When you talk about a top five defensive player in the league, that's something great. That's something important, and that's something that he has to be proud of. Because don't forget, in 2019, this guy was a fourth rounder. Every team passed on him, some of them multiple times. And Max Crosby, out of 7 rounds, dead in the middle, fourth round, got to the Raiders. He wasn't a starter. Heck, the Raiders picked somebody with the fourth overall pick in his position. And now Max Crosby, he's a defensive star. Not only a defensive star, he's a star in the NFL. He's getting respect. The other first rounder that the Raiders had in this project was Davante Adams. Number 31, so the 31st player. He was the sixth wide receiver, though. Tyreek Hill, 17. Justin Jefferson, 21. CeeDee Lamb, 22. A.J. Brown, 29. And Ja'Marr Chase, number 30. When you ask Davante Adams who the best wide receiver in the league is, I can almost guarantee you he's going to say him. And I know that the quarterback situation isn't what you would wish. You would wish to have any team in the NFL would wish to have a star quarterback right there that would make every player better. But there's competition there for the Raiders, and I'm pretty sure that Davante Adams is going to try to make his team better. With him being on the field, he makes his team better. Sorry, he makes his team better in that situation. The other Raiders players that got picked on this situation that the NFL did on their website: Christian Wilkins, third round. Colton Miller, fifth round, and Brock Bowers, the rookie tight end, with the 7th round. So out of all of the players selected by this NFL analyst in this mock draft with all-around talent, you're talking about the Raiders only having 5 in 7 rounds. 5 out of 224. I mean, not a lot of respect there from the league, but hey, when the heck has the league respected the Raiders? You got to go and earn that respect. You got to go and fight for it. Guess what? Max Crosby did. He went and fought for that respect. Now he's getting love by everybody. The players, they got to go do it and have a Robert Spillane say, like, heck, I should have been in the Pro Bowl last year. I wasn't. Let me go out with the chip on my shoulder and get in that Pro Bowl. And same thing. And these little projects that the league does, I need to get some love there by the folks. It's 4th of July weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Go and get some Modelo because it's an official cerveza of the Raiders and the official beer of fans with the fighting spirit. Modelo, rooted in the heart of the Raider Nation. Let's get ready to party. Let's go to a break. After it, John Morgan, you MMA commentator and journalist, he will be joining us to talk all things UFC 303.
Absolutely. We already had that discussion. You know, the wedding's from like 4 to 11, 4 to 10. So, you know, the main card is going to start around, you know, 8-ish. So things will kind of chill at that point. So, you know, I'm definitely going to have a big TV ready, you know, checking it out, you know, here and there during the wedding. You know, I got to see my guy John Jones get the victory for sure.
Remember that last year, Max Crosby, his own wedding day, and John Jones was going to fight the same night. And he was like, okay. Yes, I am getting married, but I'm also going to be watching the UFC pay-per-view. That's how big of an MMA fan Mad Max Crosby is. I remember a couple years back, he was buying his own tickets. Now he's a big-time friend with Dana White and attending pretty much every UFC event that he can. He was up there for one of the weigh-ins as well last year. So UFC is a huge, huge sport, a huge company in the sport of MMA, and nobody covers it better than John Morgan, our guest at this time. Like I mentioned in the open, if you watch it, UFC pay-per-view, he's there with the best seat in the house. John, I can't thank you enough for joining me here today. How was International Fight Week for you, man?
Man, it was great. International Fight Week's always busy. You talked about it. I mean, the UFC is just becoming such a behemoth, right? And all the stuff that goes on around as a celebration of combat sports. We didn't get to see Conor McGregor, which maybe would have taken it up an extra level, but we still had a great night of fights for sure.
Absolutely, and heck, Alex Pereira, is he the next huge superstar for the UFC? Because 3 years ago, he wasn't with the company. Now, two-division world champion, a lot of folks are talking about him going up to heavyweight. You look at his knockout, and my God, it went viral.
He is absolutely one of the biggest stars in the sport, which is incredible right now, right? Because, I mean, the guy doesn't really speak English at all, which normally helps you communicate to the audience. But he's so stoic, and the way he fights and the way he carries himself and everything about him, it's amazing to see the rise he's on. It's a pretty incredible story. You know, he was kind of fast-tracked to a title shot because he had a history with Israel Adesanya through their kickboxing careers. But, man, he has taken that opportunity and really, really run with it. And as you said, two-division champion, unbelievable, the victories he's had. And I'm one of the many that wants to see him go to heavyweight now. You know, he's teasing a potential move up to the heavyweight division and possibly even facing John Jones there. But, I mean, it's incredible. What this guy has done is historic, and it's exciting. The style he fights with is fun to watch, man. His knockout power is incredible.
I saw Stipe Miocic, the best heavyweight champion in UFC history, this past weekend. And I asked him, when are you fighting John Jones? He told me November 9th. After I saw that fight on Saturday, I was, my God, what would be more intriguing right now in your opinion, John? A John Jones versus Stipe fight or John Jones potentially going for Alex Pereira?
I hate to say it because it feels like you're disrespecting Stipe at that point. I mean, Stipe is one of the greatest heavyweights of all time. It's just a good dude, right? I mean, you're talking about a firefighter in his spare time. You know what I mean? Unbelievable what he does. So just a great guy. So you hate to take it away from him. But, man, he's been sidelined for so long. He's been out of action. And I really think, honestly, the biggest fight you make, I honestly believe it's the biggest fight you could make in the UFC right now is John Jones versus Alex Pereira. I just believe that would just break all kinds of records. As you said, you know, it hasn't been officially announced, but it looks like it's going to be Stipe and John in November at Madison Square Garden. And Dana White has remained steadfast. You know, he's like, this is the fight we need to make. This is the fight we want to make. This is the fight we're going to make. But, man, it just I'm torn because I really do feel like the Pereira fight would be bigger.
And that's something that you love to have, right? Being able to have intriguing matchups and something that UFC, I mean, we would love that that fight to be planned ahead of time, but on short notice, it seems like they're doing magic too, because this Alex Pereira fight wasn't supposed to happen a couple of weeks back. Conor pulls out. It goes in. Jamal Hill, he was supposed to be in the co-main event. Diego Lopez comes in, and he was supposed to fight Brian Ortega. How crazy was that Lopez change of opponent just a couple of hours? Had you ever seen anything like it, John?
That was one of the wildest things I've ever seen. As you said, Danny Ige steps in on 4 hours' notice. It's incredible. I mean, shows up and you know, does the weigh-in at the arena. I had a chance to speak with him earlier this week after the whole situation. He was kind of laughing at how the whole thing happened. You know, his coach, Eric Nixick, is calling his training partners to corner him and just being like, hey, you know, be at the gas station in 30 minutes. I'll pick you up and I'll swoop you up and we'll roll to T-Mobile. No, I've never seen anything like this. Not at the highest level of sport like the UFC. I mean, you know, on the regional developmental level, sometimes you'll see some wild things, but I've never seen this happen where somebody steps in on the day of the fight. So, man, you really got to give Diego Lopez and Danny Ige both all the credit in the world for taking these chances and just saying, look, you know, everybody wants to control every variable that they can when they're in a fight, you know. But for these two guys to say, you know, heck with it. We want to fight. Let's show up and let's do it. Man, they deserve all the credit in the world. It was one of the most amazing things you've ever seen.
Hey, in my opinion, they can call their shot and get whatever they want, right, in their next fight?
Oh, 100% right. You know, they both called for a fight at the Sphere. You know, you got that big Mexican Independence Day show at the Sphere in September. They both said they want to be on there. I asked Dana White about that afterwards. I said, hey, you know, these guys both said they want to be on that card. Can you get them there? And without hesitation, he's like, absolutely. We'll get these guys whatever they want, man. I mean, this is the step we got. When you say anybody, anywhere, any place, I mean, come on. These are the guys. They did it. So I think we'll see them both in September, I believe.
John Morgan, MMA journalist and commentator, is our guest here at the JT The Break Show on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. John, you mentioned the Sphere. September, heck, second year in a row that UFC is taking over instead of boxing in that big Mexican Independence Day weekend. Dana White said it's going to be the biggest sporting event ever. What can the UFC do to guarantee that they're going to deliver there?
Well, listen, I think the show itself is going to be incredible, right? I mean, he's already talking about spending $17 million in production already before the show's even begun. I mean, they're going to make this thing. If anybody, you know, if you haven't been in the Sphere, you really need to go see it. It's mind-blowing what the venue itself is capable of, right? Dana White said what turned him onto it was going to see a U2 show there at the invitation of Tom Brady. And once he saw it, he's like, oh, the star isn't even U2. It's the venue itself. And that kind of really got him excited about doing the venue there. So I think it's going to be amazing regardless, right? I mean, the show is going to look incredible. We know that Alexa Grasso, UFC women's flyweight champion, the only champ from Mexico right now, is going to be on that card. We don't know who she's going to be fighting yet. We think it should be Valentina Shevchenko. If not, it'll be Manon Figueroa. But she'll fight there. It's great. You know what I mean? The show's going to be incredible. But, boy, I tell you what, you know, you mentioned the name Conor McGregor. I don't know if it's going to be possible. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull this thing together. But, man, if they can get Conor McGregor to be on that show, and I know it's a Mexican Independence Day card. I know that doesn't make sense necessarily for an Irishman to be headlining the Mexican Independence Day card, but you're talking about an iconic venue. I mean, I live here in Las Vegas. I'm telling you, the Sphere has become an iconic part of the skyline already. So you're talking about an iconic venue. You're talking about an iconic event. Why not bring in the icon himself, the biggest star in the sport, Conor McGregor? So, you know, the idea is that he'll be facing Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler was supposed to be the opponent at UFC 303. He said, look, I'm going to keep waiting for this fight. His actual words to me were, I'm not letting him off the hook. He's going to have to fight me. So we'll see. I don't know if that'll happen. If not, I would expect to see Conor McGregor maybe in December here in Las Vegas. That might be an opportunity for him. But, man, it just seems to me you got this one-time, one-off, huge show. If the calendar's aligned, the injury's healed, and you can put him on there, I just don't see why you wouldn't.
Follow John at John Morgan MMA on Instagram, at @JohnMorgan_MMA on X. And you can check out that interview with Michael Chandler. We actually bumped into each other there. I went as a fan to take a picture with Michael Chandler. And I said, you know what? This is fantastic. Let me see if I can get John on the air. And here you are right now. And speaking about Mexican Independence Day weekend or even Cinco de Mayo, you go back a decade, and who was highlighting those fights here in Vegas when you talked about boxing? Floyd Mayweather. So at times it wasn't even against a Mexican fighter. So as long as you put on a show, you know that it's going to be big. Alexa, I would love to see her there. If Conor fights there, man, that's going to be huge. If not, honorary Mexican, Merab, do you think him against Sean O'Malley is something that could go down there?
Yeah, that might be a possibility as well. I know there's one that's being kicked about. Look, I mean, those two guys are having fun, right? That's going to be a great fight. Merab Dzhamilov, really, Sean O'Malley. Man, they're both great on social media. They've been posting, like, skits and video content, just kind of highlighting the rivalry that's coming up and kind of, you know, selling it on their own. So that would certainly work there as well. As you said, Merab, taking the Mexican flag, you know, the Georgian, he's saying, hey, I'll represent Mexico. So that would certainly be a possibility as well. And it's, you know, it's no disrespect to Alexa Grasso. I mean, she's a phenomenal champion. But, yeah, I think you're going to need another title fight on there as well because this is such a big event. You know, again, this is just an iconic. It's one and done. As Dana White has said, look, this is going to be so incredibly expensive. You know, they're hoping to maybe even break even on the show if they don't lose money. But they just know it's going to be just special. You know, it's kind of an advertising thing, really, a brand building thing. So you're okay to do that. But I think you're going to need another title fight. So, yeah, if you can't get Conor McGregor on there, I love the idea of Mirab Dvalishvili versus Sean O'Malley. That's a fight that is going to be happening in the very near future. And those two guys are having a lot of fun selling the fight. So that could be a real possibility as well.
Absolutely. John, tell the folks at home where they can check out your content. You do a fantastic job covering the sport. I'm a big fan of yours, so it's great having you here today.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it was great running into you, man. I appreciate the invite. You laid out the social media, John Morgan MMA on Instagram, John_Morgan_MMA on Twitter. Host a couple of podcasts, the MMA Roadshow and Cage Side with John Morgan with Grind City Media as well. So check those out and hit me up. That's nothing I love better than just talking about MMA.
I'll ask you one last question. You commentate with CM Punk. How is that experience being able to be there with Phil Brooks on the mic?
Oh, he's the man, dude. I absolutely love CM Punk, man. Phil's such a good dude. Him and I got paired together a few years ago. We worked together with CFFC, which is a great company. You can check that out in the UFC Fight Pass. Do a lot of great fights there. But really has become a good friend, man. Just an absolutely good dude. I was not a big professional wrestling guy. I covered his run when he came to the UFC. I'll never forget, you know, I was working for MMA Junkie at the time, and I had to pull up his Wikipedia page so I could, you know, find some facts that I could use to fill out the story to report his signing with UFC, because I just wasn't following his career. So I didn't know much about his wrestling run, but working alongside him and just kind of getting to hang out with him at events, man, we've become great friends. And just a really, really good dude, and hoping to see him at WrestleMania. I got the honor of seeing him here at AEW in Las Vegas when he won the title there. Looking forward to WrestleMania at Allegiant Stadium next year in Vegas. But can't say enough about CM Punk, man. He's an absolutely good dude.
There you go. I had to get that one out. I'm a huge wrestling fan, so I'm a big fan of that. Big fan of MMA now. I mean, I'll be honest, in my opinion, it already overtook boxing. But that's me as a fan. I know there's folks out there that love both. That's great. MMA, they're kicking tail. You are doing it as well with your job. John, I can't thank you enough. Thank you, and I hope to have you soon on to talk more UFC, more MMA.
Absolute pleasure, man. You can have any time.
There you go. John Morgan, check him out on Instagram. Check him out on Twitter. All the great work that he does with that. And that's interesting. Like I said, I used to live in Mexico. I was out there for over a decade. Boxing is a huge sport in Mexico. And especially with events like right now, with the Mexican national team being booted in the group stage in Copa America, a lot of boxing enthusiasts is like, hey, the sport that gives us the most glory and has done it for years and years and years, it's boxing. And yeah, that's the case. The problem right now is that you got Canelo, and he doesn't want to fight the biggest name that he could fight right now, and David Benavidez. And it's like, why not? And he's like, oh, you got to pay me X amount of dollars. I'm like, man, go out there and do it for the glory. Do it to shut everybody up, to be like, I was right, you were wrong. And no, that's not the case. So he's going to end up fighting, I think I read online, Sean Satel, who we had recently here on the show last month, mentioned that he's more than likely going to fight Edgar Berlanga. I'm like, really, dude? Berlanga? No disrespect to him, right? He's a great fighter, but he's not on the level of Canelo. He's not a guy that everybody's going to fly towards. Where is he now? Amazon Prime or DAZN or wherever he's at, and people are going to try to dish out $80 to watch him fight Edgar Berlanga. I'm like, man, do it with the fight that everybody wants to do it. Heck, when everybody was begging Canelo to fight Triple G, it took him a while, but he finally did. He fought Triple G. First one was a draw. I was there at T-Mobile Arena. Second one, he won. It was a close fight. The third one, I was there. Snooze fest. But folks said, okay, we'll give you the credit. You got in the ring. You had the guts. You fought him. Now, there's not many intriguing fights. Last year, Tank against Ryan Garcia. It sold a lot of pay-per-views. A lot. Two undefeated fighters going for it. Bam. You get a good formula. It was a knockout. Tank took care of Ryan Garcia, and then Ryan Garcia went on and fought this year too, and all the PED scandal. And that's a black eye for boxing. He won that fight by knockout. He was acting crazy. He got a lot of attention for that fight. And I mean, my man, don't cheat. Don't do stuff like that. Or heck, don't put something in your body that could potentially end up ruining your career and putting a black eye on the sport. And speaking of black, the Black Hole is the home of football's most notorious fans with over 40 chapters worldwide. If you're a diehard Raider fan, this is your home. All memberships are now lifetime memberships. Once a member, always a member. If you bleed silver and black and want to belong to one of the most passionate fan clubs in all the sports, look no further. Visit theblackhole.com today. That's theblackhole.com. Shout out to Mark Jones. Shout out to Cisco. Shout out to Johnny Visco. All the crew with the Black Hole out here in Las Vegas. I can't wait to be out there at the tailgates very, very soon. Preseason in August, regular season in September. They're going to be partying. And we keep this party rolling here on Raider Nation Radio. Eric Winalda, former U.S. men's national team member, coming up next after this break.
Free kick for Uruguay after the rain of foul. De La Cruz sends it in. Turner the save. The rebound's a goal. U.S. looking at the side, hoping to see a flag come off. It's not going to come up.
Right there, you also heard M Resort. Man, that's a great place to be able to watch sporting events. And plus, my girlfriend and I went out there a couple of weeks ago. I hadn't ever gotten a player's card, and they got some pretty cool promotions. We got a free meal. We were able to play some craps myself, my girlfriend some slots. We had a blast out there at the M Resort. Definitely check them out. I know my buddy Asif, he loves the pool out there. He lives in Henderson, so it's pretty great for him to be able to go out there and enjoy the pool. I like playing craps, so I stay inside the casino with this triple-digit weather. My God. It's hot out here in Las Vegas, so fortunately we got a venue like Allegiant Stadium where we can go walk inside, and it's cool. It's chill in there. You were able to enjoy football during football season, both with the Raiders and with UNLV. Right now, in this month of June, July in 2024, you already had two group stage matches with the Copa America. And you're going now to see some of the highest competition when it comes to soccer this Saturday, 6 p.m. You got Brazil, the only five-time world champion national team, taking on Uruguay, which is the first ever world champion, two-time world champion in the FIFA World Cup. It's going to be a heck of a battle. And the best part about this is the kind of party that comes with two teams of this stature, because fans fly in from everywhere around the United States to watch their national team. My buddy Andres, a former TD with Telemundo, and now he's working with the UFC, he's Colombian. He went to watch the Colombian national team out in Houston, out in San Francisco with their group stage games. And I was actually texting with him, hey, man, do you want Colombia to lose so that way they play in Las Vegas? He's like, hey, if not, they're going to play in Arizona. I'm going to go to Phoenix. So it's pretty cool seeing folks that, you know, how diverse this country is with people from all over the world living in the United States, and specifically out here in Las Vegas. You got people from all over the world. And if you bring an event like this, you know that there's going to be the Brazilian community in town, the Uruguayan community in town, and our neighbors in California, in New Mexico, in Texas. They're going to be close. They're going to come out to this game. It's great for the economy. And these matches wouldn't happen at Sam Boyd Stadium in 2024. They wouldn't happen in any other venue in town. Where other place would they be able to play soccer with fans in the stands in Vegas besides Sam Boyd and Cashman Field? I can guarantee you they wouldn't be playing in those stadiums. They might be practicing at those stadiums, but not playing a game. Allegiant Stadium, man, what a great blessing it has been for this town. And also, T-Mobile Arena. You got great arenas. MGM used to be great for boxing, used to be great for some NBA exhibition games. Mandalay Bay, a fantastic home for the Las Vegas Aces. But the Aces, yesterday, not because of a schedule conflict with Mandalay Bay, but because of the demand for tickets, ended up playing at T-Mobile Arena with over 20,000 fans in attendance. And what a game. T-Mobile Arena, Aces versus Fever, Las Vegas versus Indiana. They put on a show in front of the largest crowd in the WNBA regular season in the past 25 years.
Ball is tapped around, and Asia tracks it down. Look at that. To Clark. To Plum for another three. Boom! Shaka-laka-laka! Boom! KP for another three. She's got the big 3-0. 30 for Plum. Having the game of the year for her. Coming off that two-point performance on Saturday in D.C.
Kelsey Plum, her season high, 34 points. She was the leading scorer in this matchup. The Aces won 88-69. But Kelsey Plum said during her post-game press conference, she was sitting next to Asia Wilson. She was like, she's the MVP, and she should be the MVP in a unanimous fashion. This is what Asia did.
And Wilson has it. Fallaway jumper from Asia is good. And Asia Wilson eclipsed her average with 28 now. Plum with 34, Jackie with 15.
There you go. Asia Wilson, 28 points, 9 rebounds in this game. I mean, she is just consistent as consistent can be in a great level. And the Las Vegas Aces, they have a player that if she keeps it up like that right now, she's going to be one of the all-time greats in WNBA history. I mean, the Aces 88-69, it was the win. You look over at the other side, Caitlin Clark had a pretty good game. 13 points, 11 assists, 6 rebounds for a rookie. I mean, the ladies were trying to push her around a little bit at the beginning of the season, but Caitlin Clark, she started getting that confidence. She starts to look better and better on the court, and she's a rookie. You can't expect a rookie to come in day one and be the leader in that team, to be the star in that team. I love it that her and Angel Reese are kicking tail. I love it that her and Angel Reese are having that spotlight on them. And the best part about this is that this year, the WNBA All-Star Game isn't going to be a game between All-Stars from one conference against the other. This year, it's going to be the Team USA squad versus the Team WNBA. Let's remember, this year, it's the Olympics. Like we mentioned yesterday, 4 out of the 12 Team USA players are from the Las Vegas Aces. So with these changes, that means that the players now are going to be WNBA versus Team USA, and Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, they are both on that squad. I love it. You see also players like Brianna Jones from Connecticut, Alicia Gray from Atlanta, De'Erica Hamby from the LA Sparks, former Aces player. They're going to get an opportunity, so it's pretty cool. Now let's see who's going to win. Team USA, they might not have as much chemistry when this game goes down as they will during the Olympics, but it's going to be fun. July 20th in Phoenix, Arizona, Team USA versus Team WNBA. That's going to be the WNBA All-Star Game. I'm loving it. The Aces, they're doing their thing. You got the point guard back, Chelsea Gray, and since she's been back, now it's a 5-game winning streak for the Las Vegas Aces, who are back in action tomorrow. Aces hosting the Washington Mystics at 7 p.m. back at Michelob Ultra Arena. So the Aces doing their thing. We got a caller on the line, Mitch from New Jersey. Mitch, it's great to hear from you. How are you?
Good, Harry. How you doing? Thanks.
Doing fantastic, man. What you got for me?
Nice to hear you. Talk a little NBA. The draft was pretty good. I think both LA teams did quite well between the draft and the trading. The second round is a crapshoot, so they took Bronny, and he signed a 4-year deal, so he's not going anywhere. Very interesting. I think LeBron should play as long as George Blanda and get his second son and get him on the team too. So it'd be his two sons playing with LeBron. I think LeBron should finish with as a center. He could still throw everybody around. My Clippers, though, I think they did a little better than the Lakers. And no more second banana in that town. They moved to Inglewood, right? Started building, going to the ring. Which, by the way, when is basketball going to come to Vegas and Seattle? It doesn't take a lot of property to build a new stadium, new arena. It's only an arena now. I know the baseball is taking their sweet time to get into Vegas. Clippers, another USC guy, Kevin Porter Jr., hopefully he has his turn his life around, and they've added some more players. Paul George, might as well be Boy George, good luck in Philly, because he never came through in clutch time. Which is saying, thanks for taking me talking.
Mitch, of course. It's always a pleasure being able to talk with you. I mean, I think players like Paul George, he's a very talented player, but you go to the Clippers, and which player has had a heck of a career in the Clippers with success both individually and collectively? You're in a franchise that has been doomed. It's pretty much the same thing as the Chargers. You can have a Dan Fouts and a Phillip Rivers and a Justin Herbert, but as long as you don't win the big one, your career is not going to take that next step. And there's players that have left the Chargers, like Drew Brees, and ended up winning a Super Bowl with New Orleans, and he has more career Super Bowls than the Chargers. And I'm just not saying that because they're the rivals for the Raiders, but it's just one of those franchises that seem to be doomed to never be able to take that step and go over the hump and be able to be successful. And yes, he mentioned Bronny right now. Bronny and LeBron both announced today that they signed their contract with the Raiders and with the Los Angeles Lakers. And that's interesting. And I know JT's been talking about the situation since Bronny got drafted last week. And me personally, I'm like, man, it was when you got your agent calling other teams saying, don't pick him, he won't play for you. I was like, all right, that's not
how it's a joke. Let's just say it what it is. It's a joke.
Exactly. And now how many second round picks get 4-year deals with guaranteed money like that? Most second round players don't even get deals that long or that type of guaranteed money. But he's got the James name in the back of his jersey. Sorry,
I have absolutely, positively no problem with this whatsoever, because every bad thing that happens to the Lakers just makes me giggle.
Hey, you're a Celtics fan, so
for
you.
And I'll tell you something right now, Bronny or whatever you want to call him, averaged what, 5 points a game?
Yeah.
Four points a game?
USC, as a bench player.
Cool. Let's see how it works out.
Exactly. And look, the reality is,
you know what the hell they're doing here, right? I mean, this is Pelinka appeasing LeBron James because he's literally the only thing they've got to do. That's all they've got. That's the only thing they've got to sell tickets is LeBron James. And then they bring out Junior. Okay, cool, whatever. That doesn't make him a championship. That doesn't even make him a playoff team at this point. Yeah, you got a long way to go. It's nice you got little Bronny and stuff. You really got to build a team.
That's a situation right now that the Lakers, I had a buddy of mine, he was pissed off at Jeannie Buss because she was like, "What? She should sell the team right now." I'm like, well,
he's right.
She should. I mean, in my opinion, she should get a general manager that can take control of this team because it's pretty much LeBron James managing the Lakers.
Yeah, he is, as Rome used to call him, a late GM. Yeah.
You got his podcast co-host as the coach, and they announced today they got two former head coaches as his assistants.
Yeah.
Brings in his son, brings in his buddies. He's got his agent now making calls about, you can't draft this player to other teams because we want him to go to the Lakers. It's like, really, man? It's something that I'm just not comfortable with.
I just can't wait until the Celtics have to play the Lakers in L.A. next year. I think I might just go just for bleeps and giggles.
There you go.
Just so I can laugh at Laker fans.
So if I'm correct, LeBron is going for his 22nd NBA season, right?
Sure, why not? I don't know. I don't pay attention to him.
So I got trivia for you. Which player has the most NBA seasons under his belt?
I'm going to say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
No. More recent.
Al Horford.
Nope. Vince Carter. 22 seasons he played in the NBA. I know towards the end he wasn't Vince Sanity, but he was coming back. That was something
I'll buy that.
Dirk Nowitzki had 21. Kevin Garnett had 21.
Didn't he end up in didn't he finish up his career in Miami or something?
Memphis, I think. Right? He was all over the place, and I was like, man, he just don't look the same way without a Toronto jersey. That's the one I wanted to see him. Kareem 20, so it was a good guess. Kobe also had 20 seasons under his belt. LeBron James, you'll give him credit with this. I mean, he keeps on putting numbers, but the thing is, out of 6 seasons he has played with the Lakers so far, in 4 of them, the team hasn't even gone past the first round in the playoffs.
Oh, I'm very aware of that one.
And in purple and gold, that is not good enough. Purple and gold, they have to be contending for the Western Conference Finals to make it into the NBA Finals, and it's not good enough.
Purple and gold became a joke as soon as Kobe stopped playing for them.
For real. And you know what? I enjoyed the Lakers more when they had kids like D'Angelo Russell, like Brandon Ingram, like Julius Randle. I enjoyed them more with like that than now with LeBron James.
Look, the problem is that you've got one player that is running the entire bleeping system. Okay? He's the GM. His buddy's the coach. His kid's on the bench. Come on.
And
you know what? If LeBron was 25 and he was scoring 40 points a game and blah, 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 cool. Whatever. What he's doing right now? Come on. You know what? That's fine. Y'all go out and do what you're going to do. Go get a couple of, like, mediocre people to fill in with and sit in with him and whatnot. I'm just going to kick back and watch the Lakers not make the playoffs again.
Yeah, he signed a 2-year deal for over $100 million.
And that's the thing, too, man, because what? You got a salary cap. If this one player is taking up $50 million, how the hell are you supposed to get any players to play with him?
How are you supposed to sign the other guys, right? So that's the situation right now in La La Land.
Another clown show in Lakerland.
La La Land at Crypto.com Arena. Heck, after this conversation, I need a Remy Martin, the official cognac of the JT The Brick Show. This summer, the first Friday of every month, is Ladies Night at Ghost Bar at the Palms. All ladies will receive a complimentary Botanist French 75. Remy Martin, drink responsibly. Let's go to a break, Raider Nation, now. After it, for real, Eric Winalda will be joining us here on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.